Today is November 6, 2015. This is Victoria Coughlin interviewing Ms. Covington, my 7th and 8th grade English teacher, for our History 225 project. Today we are going to be talking about bookstores. Ms. Covington, can you tell me how long you've been going to bookstores for?
At least 40 years.
Wow, that's a very long time.
Yes.
Approximately how many different bookstores have you been to, and do you have a preference when it comes to going to old bookstores, the used kind, used books, or would you prefer going to a bookstore that only has, like, selling new books?
It's hard to know how many different bookstores I've been to because I usually don't pass by one without going in. But as far as different companies, Borders, Books A Million, and then there was a little bookstore in Charlottesville that sold used books. And I really liked crawling around on the floor to see what I could find. But I'm allergic to the mold, so I kind of like to buy them new so nobody else has written in them but me. And they're just prettier that way.
Out of all the different bookstores you've been to, do you have a favorite in particular?
Yes, I really loved Borders. I'm sorry it closed. I liked it because it was open, it was airy, it was clean. You could smell coffee and brownies when you walked in. Nobody rushed you. Everybody helped you. And you could sit and look through books and nobody told you to buy something or move on.
During your trips to Borders, about how long would you usually stay for and what exactly would you do while you were there?
Oh, every time I went in, I was good for at least an hour, hour and a half. And I would just roam around. I usually went in knowing what I wanted. But then I would end up with six or seven other books that I didn't know I wanted till I got there. And I would talk to people. I'd roam through bookshelves. And I always discovered books I didn't know existed. And always usually bought them.
Obviously, like, when roaming through the bookstore, I'm sure you encountered many people. Did you ever create relationships with any of the customers, discussing books you guys had read, giving each other suggestions, or did you ever create relationships with any of the workers?
Well, when you think about it, that sounds kind of creepy, but no, I would talk to the different salespeople to see if they had a book by a certain author or if the latest edition or volume of something had come out. A lot of times, we met, it was four of us teachers, and we met as a book club. And we'd sit there and drink tea and eat something chocolate and started off talking about books, but it really ended up talking, just gossiping. But we always got recommendations for what we were going to read next. So I talked to people, but nothing on an ongoing basis as far as staff there goes.
I know you spend a lot of time in bookstores searching for books, but do you ever read any of your books off an e-reader or offline, off any sort of electronic device?
Now I have to. Since Borders closed, I don't have a choice, so I have a Kindle. And I love it because I can get a new book at 2 a.m. if I don't have something to read. And I have to have a book to read every night. That's law. So I like my Kindle because of the convenience. But I miss just roaming around in a bookstore. And I find I spend much less money. I would go into a bookstore and always come out with at least 6, 8, 10, 12 books, where on my Kindle, it's one at a time.
Do you prefer reading a book off your Kindle or another electronic device, or would you rather read a book hard copy?
It really depends. If the book has a lot of charts and graphs and photographs, I'd rather have the hard copy. I thought I would never be able to use a Kindle, that I had to have that magic thing called a book in my hands. But I found what the Kindle does give me is the ability to change the size of the fonts. And as I get older, that's becoming more and more important. So I still love my books, but the Kindle is so convenient because I don't leave my house without a book. And putting a huge hardbound book, Catherine the Great, for example, is almost impossible to put in my pocketbook
unless I want to hurt my back. But on my Kindle, it's nothing. I just slip it in my pocketbook and go.
Do you think the way you choose a book differs when choosing a book from a bookstore or from choosing offline? What qualities do you look for in a book when choosing from either place?
Well, it's totally different. When I am looking for a book and I'll go to Amazon, for example, a lot of times I'm reading the reviews first because I don't want to waste money on a book I'm not going to like. And so that keeps me looking at reviews. When you go into a bookstore, you don't have reviews. Sometimes I may have heard of the book before, somebody's recommended it. I may have seen a review in a magazine, but I just like to go in and see what catches my eye. Maybe it's the cover of the book, maybe it's an author that I haven't read his or her latest books. And I like being able to pick up a book and look through it. The books I buy online, on my reader, photographs, pictures don't come across as well. The format is strange. So I like a bookstore for that. I can actually pick it up and read through it. And a lot of times I would go into a bookstore and read the first sentence. If the first sentence grabbed me, chances are I'd buy the book. If the first sentence didn't grab me, I'd go on to the next book.
I'm sure you have many memories throughout your time in bookstores, but do you have one strong memory or one memory in particular that you hold close to your heart?
Well, I like it when I go and find the next volume by some writer I love, or when I discover something to read that I've never even thought of. But one of the best times was going with a young lady who had just learned to read. And she was in seventh grade. And we went to the bookstore so she could pick out a book. And seeing her discover all those books in one place was just amazing. And she picked out the book she wanted to read. And I was tutoring her in reading at the time, and we bought the book, came to my house and sat on the patio, and my little dog crawled up in the chair beside her, and she read the book to my dog. And I thought, now that's what a bookstore's for, is to pass that love of reading on from one generation to another and help a child who's struggling with language learn to read. And now she's graduated high school, has a family of her own, and gets in contact with me every so often to tell me what book she's now reading to her children. And that love of reading, that's how we stay an educated society, is passing that love on.
How do you think Borders has impacted your life?
Well, it made me considerably poorer. It took up an awful lot of time because I was probably there twice a week, every week, weather permitting. And buying everything from books to records to coffee to Christmas presents for my friends who were readers. So it was like the best department store ever. So it had a huge impact on my life. And its absence leaves a hole. But I have a little more money now than I used to have when it was open. But it's no fun driving to the bookstore anymore because it's not there.
Obviously, Borders has had a great impact on your life, but is there one book in particular that's impacted your life greatly?
You know, that's probably the hardest question I could try to answer because books impact my life at different stages in my life. And I need different things at different stages of my life. The one that I've remembered the longest is Walter Farley's The Black Stallion. I first read it from my hometown library. When I became an adult, I bought numerous copies at Borders and gave to friends because I thought it had the most descriptive writing that I'd read up until that time. And today, I still believe that. Plus, it was written by a young man when he was 17. At 17, what guy writes a book that's been around forever? So that one had a huge impact on me as a young reader. And I can no longer say, go to Borders and pick up a copy of The Black Stallion. And do you want the hardback? Or look and see if you'd rather have the paperback. And read the first paragraph and see how you like that. Another book is A Giver. I taught that when I was teaching language arts. And it still has great impact on my life. And I found that originally at Borders and bought a hard copy of that. The Velveteen Rabbit, a children's book. I bought that at Borders and gave to my oldest niece when she was a little teeny thing. And went home and read it to her. So it wasn't just the book that was so important, but it was the bonding with her and talking about what is real and how do you know if somebody loves you. And without Borders, would I have found that book? I don't know. But it was great to walk in and find it. Cleopatra. Oh my gosh, as I got older, I learned more about Cleopatra and the library at Alexandria, one of the great libraries in the world. And I found that at Borders. Peter the Great, Catherine the Great, all sorts of biographies. And you can just go through the biography section and there's a history of the world right there. Science books that you run across in there. Books of maps. I love to buy books of maps. I like to look at maps. And MapQuest just doesn't get it. When you can pick up either an old folding map or some type of atlas or some type of book of maps, where are you going to have that bonding time with the children? Bill Bryson writes great books. I first discovered him at Borders. Now I've read everything he's written, I think, and want to share that with others. So it's Borders is like a community. It's a communal thing where you can go in and see what we're going to find today. It's like a treasure chest for adults that have time and money. And now you go online, buy yourself, push one button, boom, a book shows up on your Kindle. You don't even know it's there sometimes. Where at a bookstore, when I come home with the book, I know it's there. And I get to set them all out on the table and decide, what am I going to read first? Sometimes I even would discover a book I'd bought before. But, you know, usually it was several years ago, and I'd either wrap it up as a gift for a friend or read it again, maybe in a different format. So I miss that stuff, the actual touching and feeling of books, and just, it's kind of like a religious experience. So as soon as a bookstore opens near me, I'll be back. But I hope, I don't want to live in a world in which there are no bookstores. That's like living in a world where there are no dogs. What would be the point?
You said Borders is the bookstore you went to the most, and you mentioned how it closed. How did you feel when it closed?
I felt like a best friend had died. They didn't ask me. They didn't get my permission. I would have said no. It was like, well, what do I do? Where do I go get my books? Where does my little group meet for book club meetings? Where am I going to go to run into students? Or back in the day, they also sold CDs. So I would go to Borders for music as well as books. It was terrible. I still think it's terrible. I'm mad. I don't see any sense in it. I understand that everything's electronic and online, but there needs to be a brick and mortar store where books are.
Many bookstores have closed in our area due to the advancement in technology. Do you think the amount of books people read or you yourself will read will change?
I hope not, but it seems like it's got to. When I would go to the bookstore, I'd always leave with an armload of books. $100, $200 worth, it's like my Christmas present to myself or my summer vacation present. I don't buy as many books now because I can't see them, I can't pick them up, and I can't touch them. What concerns me is little children. They need to be able to go into a place where they can pick up books and hold them. And I don't know what they do. They certainly can't order them online. Hopefully, there are enough people running around that value reading and the importance of books that they will buy actual copies from somewhere and let the children hold them. But I used to love watching little kids run up and down the aisles and discover Pat the Bunny, and then there was a stuffed animal there. And I remember sitting on a stool once and talking to a little girl about what she was reading and giving her mother some suggestions of books to pick out that would be age appropriate. Now, a lot of that's because I'm a reading teacher and because I love to read, but that kind of interaction you don't have when you don't have any actual building to go to have the interaction. So, you know, I hope it doesn't change people's reading habits, but it certainly changed mine. And I hope if it changes other people's, that it will change them for the better.
How do you think society is going to change with the decrease in bookstores in the area?
I just wonder if people are going to miss out on so much of our history of just looking at the printed word, holding a book in your hands. So much of what our civilization is based on, and civilizations around the world, are based on books and being able to hold them and collect them and have them in your home. And I think it's got to suffer. I hope not. I hope people still continue to read, but it's so nice to go to that building that's not called a library, but to go in there and walk around with other people and see what are the best sellers and what are people reading and all the other little gidgy-hoochies that go with reading, whether it was neat bookmarks or different kind of covers you could put on books. Those are things you can't do online or not easily. And it's just being in a building where everybody else is there for the exact same reason, is just to find a good book to read.
I remember as a kid, we used to have so many bookstores around here in the area, but now it seems they just keep closing one by one. Do you think our world will ever be a world where bookstores are just a thing of the past and it's just history? Or like, what would you think of this? How can you imagine a world without bookstores?
I can't imagine a world without bookstores. It's hard enough when you have to search them out to find them, but a world without bookstores is like a world without books or dogs or best friends. How does knowledge get transmitted? What happens when your internet connection goes out? Then what do? I mean, books you can read, doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what time of day, it doesn't matter whether you have electricity or not, you can always read a book. And you need bookstores. We're communities of readers, and that's what keeps us human, is getting together and sharing information, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, or whether it's poetry or quantum physics, where you can just find out more information about things and maybe run into people who think the same way you do or think the opposite of you do. And if you have no bookstores available to you, what do you do? How's that knowledge transmitted down through the ages? Because if you have no bookstores, fewer and fewer people are going to write books. And that's, I don't know, the end of civilization as we know it. Maybe that's too drastic, but I don't want to be around a place where bookstores aren't valued, because that means books aren't valued, and that means knowledge is not valued. And I can't imagine anything much worse than that.
It's obvious that many bookstores have had a great impact on your life, Borders in particular, and I only hope that many other bookstores have had an impact on others' lives. Thank you so much for letting me interview you today. I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome.